Hey, make sure that you subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience and all the different shows on Lando Cal Experience on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere that you would want to get your podcasting from. So you may be listening to this on the Stroud Low Cash feed. And if you are, make sure you go over to Lando Cal feed and subscribe there so you can get more content, more things about nerd culture and movies and comics and topics that we'll be having going out. Email us LandoCalPod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Lando Calrissian Experience, as well as find us on Twitter too, Lando Cal Pod, on Twitter as well. So we're everywhere social media is too. So go on there, check us out, follow us, all that good stuff. Also, this episode is sponsored by Rabbit Charger, rabbitcharger.com. And Rabbit Charger is a rapid way of charging your phone between multiple outlets at the same time, without the long cords and long issues that you normally have about trying to find your charger, and rid you of the clutter, and also gives you swappable charging tips for Android and iOS's. So go ahead and check them out at rabbitcharger.com and support their Kickstarter they have going on as well. And welcome to the show. Welcome to another edition of Thrones Be the Game. We almost have a rotating cast now. It almost seems like Tyler wasn't here last week. Ravens hasn't only been here twice. Matt wants to be a baseball writer, so he's at the Cardinals game.
That's a pretty good excuse.
Yeah, it's a great excuse. It's actually a great excuse. Great excuse. But my man Tyler's here with us, man. Thank you for being back home, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to point out that I was gone longer than Jon Snow was dead.
That is
so. I'm sure everyone in the audience was, as from a narrative standpoint, this was a much better narrative because the mystery of whether or not I was going to return to the show went on for much longer than Jon Snow.
It was 2 weeks. And you're right, Jon Snow has been a lot longer. So
yeah, Jon Snow was dead, and then he was back in like a week and a half. And everyone in the audience was probably like, "Is he dead? Is he ever coming back? You know, whatever."
So let's get some of your thoughts though, since you've been gone, and then we'll go into this last episode. So
yeah, I guess the quick rundown. I thought they brought him back maybe an episode sooner than they should have. You want to miss the character a little bit, and I don't know that we really got an opportunity to do that. At the same time, I recognize that what's going on at Castle Black right now is probably one of the most important storylines as far as like the end game of the series goes. So they couldn't waste a bunch of time with that.
And I think their hand was in a cookie jar because everybody kind of knew he was going to come back alive. So it's like, we might as well just bring him back.
Yeah.
Instead of not stretching it out and pissing people off because everybody knows anyway.
Absolutely. And I think the bigger twist with that really wasn't the fact that he was going to come back, because I think everyone kind of knew. But the real twist for me was when he decided that, like, he dropped the mic and he's out.
just like I'm good.
He walks out and he's like, I my watch has ended. Jon Snow, like his dad or his maybe adopted dad, if we're going to
put we don't know. Or his uncle.
Yeah, or his uncle. Is one of the most honorable people. And what I thought was kind of funny was, it's like they serve until death. He died, so he's out.
And what's so funny is that every one of the Starks is super honorable, and every one of the Starks that was super honorable died. Like, at least,
Yeah.
And maybe he's going to live now because he said, because if it had been Ned, he'd have been like, okay, I'm still the Night Watch commander. I'm just back alive.
Yeah, he kind of fulfilled his contract.
Yeah,
his contract was like, you serve until death. He's like, well, I died. I'm walking around, but like, you didn't include that in the fine print, so I'm gonna just like go on down the road. I really was happy though. Then going to this,
go ahead.
Was that when they brought Sansa in? I was really afraid that they were going to do some kind of fake out, and she was going to narrowly miss him, and he would have already left
with the wildlings or something. Yeah, and then they got to find each other. And
yeah, then from that would have just been such a like a just a pointless thing to do, really. And it was an interesting reunion. I thought it was interesting to bring those two characters back together. I saw an interview with the actors, mm-hmm. and I guess they had not filmed a scene together since the first episode of the first season of the show.
And it's true, because everyone, the split of everyone going everywhere starts episode two.
Yeah, and you know, and I don't think they even had lines together. They just were in the same scene.
Yeah.
It was interesting to see the two of them. It's not as apparent from the show, I don't think, but from the books, they're very not close.
Yeah, well, I mean, John was not close to anybody, but Rob was the only one he was pretty close to. And they were close in age.
Yeah,
and Rob didn't get that animosity, I don't think, as much as the younger kids did.
And he was closer to Arya too.
Yeah,
because he gave her he was the one that was willing to treat her like the tomboy that she actually was instead of a lady. And so he was closer to her. And so it was interesting to see him reunited and everything they'd gone through coming out in that scene that they shared together. And I thought that was like kind of a nice, you don't get a lot of nice
yeah, you don't
moments.
Get any fuzzy moments, but yeah. You're like, oh, man, it's
you
cool.
You know, you watch that moment, it's like, oh, it's nice.
Yeah, everything was cool.
I hope none of them get murdered in the next 20 minutes. So that was cool. I liked that a lot. We were talking just a minute before we started this. I liked this episode a lot. I thought the first three of the season were kind of sort of setting the table a little bit. And this one was really where we maybe kind of get to see where the season's going a little bit.
Like what's the storyline's going to be? Like it was kind of like tying up the bows from the last season was kind of that beginning. Of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. This one, I think, was the first one that we really saw a lot of movement past where the books are. You know, like Jon Snow came back, which he hadn't done in the books yet, but everyone knows
he was going to come back.
He was going to. And, you know, he quits the Night's Watch, which I didn't see coming.
No, I didn't see that coming either.
Danny,
but I figured it was going to be, but I didn't know he's going to quit, but I thought that maybe the Night's Watch is going to be like, you're good, and you need to go.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was going to drop the mic, though.
Yeah, that's true. That would be another thing. I did like that he put Dolorous Ed in charge.
Yeah. Like, and he didn't even want it, for he's like, what?
Yeah. He hands him the code. He's like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Just because I was the guy that went to go get the wildlings?
Yeah. So I liked that. There's not a lot of comedy in the show, and I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny how Tormund was clearly into Brienne.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah, apparently he's got a thing for giants.
Yeah, yeah. Like, big time.
So I liked that, and I, you know, the whole thing with Dany, we can kind of see where that's going now.
I mean, that's... She's basically going to end up having she's got the biggest army now.
Yeah.
And I wonder them saying that, even kind of sidetracking here and then coming back to Daenerys, that scene where they tell, like, say, the Tyrells have the second biggest army. Well, I wonder if that was like a parallel to let you know, like, well, the first biggest army is going to be this other one. Like, they kind of put you on notice that Daenerys is going to get the first one, even though we don't want you to think they got number one, but they got number two. So you got to think that they're going to be knocked down to three. Because Daenerys is going to get this other army with the Unsullied and with the Dothraki all together.
That's true. It was like a subtle way that they kind of let you know where everyone stands.
Yeah, yeah. So who would have the number one? Is it the Lannisters? In the book, it's the Lannisters.
I would assume it's the Lannisters just because they got the most money.
Yeah. But then they really don't have that much money, though, too, though. Remember in the books, they were like kind of in debt to to a lot of people.
And their minds have all kind of run dry.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Yeah, they're basically signing promissory notes out because we're good for it. You know we got the minds. We're good for it.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to see whether or not that matters. You know, like that may come up that suddenly they need an influx of cash and there just isn't one.
Because Crown owns a whole bunch of money to Braavos already.
Yeah. The Crown does, and then they kind of always relied on the fact that they could use the Lannisters, and so maybe, you know, something's going to happen that Tommen needs the money.
Are they trying to play the Tyrells, you think? Because I was thinking, if the Lannisters have the biggest army, why don't they come into King's Land to handle the issue with the High Spirit? Why are they trying to play the Tyrells to do it?
Yeah,
I think Kevin was like, because Kevin was sitting there like, I'm not doing shit. Like, that's what he was, that's what his disposition was, like, I'm not freaking. Yeah, you have the second best army. That's fine. But
yeah,
but we're not going to do anything on our side. So let's get them to bring their army in.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's just them being interested in like having somebody else get their hands dirty.
Yeah, that's what
they never really seem to want to do anything. No,
they always come on the back end and help out. Even in with them killing the Mad King, even in Blackwater, they were always on the back end of everything going on. And like, oh yeah, we came and we saved the day at the end.
Yeah. So that was interesting. Speaking of King's Landing, yeah. I think it's interesting where they're going with Margaery.
Is she going to become like part of the High Sparrow people, though? I wonder. Like, is she going to convert and become like one of those women, the nun women?
Yeah, and I could see that happening. Like, she seems to be fighting against it when she saw Loras mm-hmm. in the cell a little bit. But at the same time, I could see them just, you know, deciding to have her become a part of that. Because it's sort of an interesting thing to do. The conflict there between the High Sparrow and the Lannisters and I guess basically Margaery or the Tyrells is like an interesting one. I don't know exactly where that's going.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm interested is because I think the reason I think Cersei's trying to play them is that Cersei still has a trial.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think they're trying to, and I don't know if they know that she still has a trial? Because I think that she's trying to get the Tyrells to bring in an army to help out, but she won't have her trial, and they don't give a damn about, you know, the Tyrell daughter. They more care about, she just wants to stop her trial from happening, and if I can get them to come in and do this, then I'm going to have my trial.
That's maybe why she's angling to do that.
Yeah, because she wouldn't give a damn about that girl if she didn't have to do anything. If her penance was walking through the streets naked, and it was like, hey, you know, your daughter's up on her own.
Yeah, yeah, and I can definitely see that she doesn't want to deal with that. It's going to be interesting to kind of see where that goes, I guess.
Yeah.
I read something that it talked about the books are kind of setting up that, like, so, you know, the mountain's alive still.
Right, and they're saying that the character, the Gravedigger, is supposed to be the Hound.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the Hound.
And they're supposed to be setting up for them to battle each other. Like, basically, the High Sparrow's going to take the Gravedigger as their champion, and Cersei's supposed to take the mountain.
Yeah, and so I don't know if they're going to... They're maybe going to skip that in the show, and maybe the Hound's just dead. I'm always suspicious, though, when a character is supposed to have died and you don't really see it.
And that's the thing, even with the Stannis thing, though, I didn't believe it until Brienne said, yeah, I stabbed him.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it until then.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I was thinking, well, maybe she let him go. And she maybe still let him go.
And maybe she did, and just like, get out of here. You go. You need to go off somewhere else.
Yeah, so Stannis may not be...
I don't think the Hound's dead, though.
Yeah.
Because
don't think so.
Because remember when Jacqueline was like quizzing her, like, what'd you do with the man that you left? I don't know. I just left him to die. Is he dead? I don't know. Remember, she's like, he kept asking. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's what made me think, oh, he might be still alive. Then if she said, I don't know if he's dead or alive, then he's probably most likely alive.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I liked that. Where do you think the, just giving to a total.
Yeah. We just
Where do you think the like the King's Mood in the Iron Islands is going?
I don't know where
it's going to take over.
I don't know where. I have a feeling that it's going to be like my big master thing is. I think that Jon Snow is going to somehow get Winterfell back. Daenerys is going to somehow contact him because she's going to get information. I feel from Varys or Tyrion, letting them know like Jon Snow is like your brother.
Yeah, and, like, and it's gonna Varys be like some, a good source. For
yeah,
that.
He knows. He knows it already.
He probably would know that.
He knows. So I was thinking that she may send a letter to him, and they're like, "Well, we need to come together to do something." He leaves King's Landing back to I hope Rickon or Sansa or somebody like that, and they end up being running that. And he gives Theon like a pardon and saying, and maybe because some stuff's going crazy there, and he's the only one left. Like, hey. You're the king of the Iron Islands. Your debt to the... He does something to help out. Mm-hmm. And your debt to the Starks is done. Because you say... Maybe because he saves Sansa. Like, your debt to the Starks is good.
Yeah.
You can be the king of the Iron Islands. And somehow he ends up being the king of the Iron Islands at the end.
Yeah.
And you know, John gives him that, you know, that pardon. Like, hey, you know, you can have that. And that's just kind of a bigger picture thing. So I think maybe Theon is going to end up running it somehow.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I think you're right. I think they're setting the pieces, you know, and obviously Sansa wants Jon to take Castle Black.
Yeah.
I think they're setting the pieces for the Iron Islands to come in and aid them in some way.
Or go with the Boltons. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be they're going to ally themselves directly with either one of them.
They're going one way or the other. It sounds like the Eerie is going
with Jon Snow,
with the Starks.
Yeah.
Speaking of people that have been gone for a long time, Littlefinger.
Yeah, he shows back up and almost gets like he has the is he autistic? What is this? Is he supposed to have autism? I think. Or is he Asperger?
Kid, I think he's just really dumb.
So you just think he's because he was very. I think it's just very sheltered because his mom was breastfeeding him since like 14 or something.
Which was like the single creepiest thing they've ever shown on the show.
Out of all the things, that was the creepiest thing to me too. Like he's sitting there breastfeeding and he's 13 years old.
Yeah. Everything they showed on the show, I was like, no big deal. That one actively bothered me when I saw that. But it was, you know, it was funny because, like, okay, so John's gone for like, you know, is dead for an episode and a half. So in like three episodes, he's gotten murdered and resurrected. And Littlefinger was gone for the same length of time, and all he did apparently was like buy a falcon. Which is really cool, but like he just went shopping.
Yeah, he just went shopping. This whole time.
Yeah.
So and he knows that Sansa's pissed off though. Do you think he knew do you think he's lying when he said that he didn't know it was gonna go like that?
You know, I can't ever tell.
But Littlefinger, man, you can't tell.
I really try to predict it. I think that that guy that he accused.
Yeah, it was a general or something. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, Littlefinger maybe knew what that guy was going to try and sort of played things to his advantage. You know, but I don't really know. It just seems like he's probably trying to angle the Eerie to help them out. And if I had to bet, he's probably looking to get like Hand of the King.
Oh, and it basically have combined with the Starks take over here. So you building up all this big army to be able to going back into King's Landing, and you can be the Hand of the King.
Yeah, I think that's probably what he's aiming. Because
he can't.
For.
He know he can't. He doesn't have any royal blood, so he can't.
Yeah,
be a king.
And I don't think he wants that. I think he wants to be the guy who's the power behind the throne. So what might be interesting is it's like, so you're going to have
John. That's interesting, the Hand of the King, though, him going to be ahead. That's interesting.
Yeah, you're going to have John and John's team,
mm-hmm.
and Littlefinger will probably end up being some kind of an advisor to him, and then whoever else falls in behind John. And then you're going to have Dany and Dany's team, and then Tyrion is probably going to have the hand roll for Dany.
Dany, right.
So the conflict at the end of the show, I think, is probably going to be Littlefinger and Tyrion.
But do you think Tyrion will want to go back to Castle Rock, though? Would he end up like, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm done with all this political shit. I want to go back home and just drink and have whores. I'm gonna go back to Castle Rock, or stay in Marine.
Yeah, he may
not even want to go back. Period. Maybe that's what they're angling him for. Like Daenerys, like yo, some and he might be like somebody's got to stay here and make sure this doesn't go back to Slaver's Bay.
Yeah, he may end up being the envoy across the Narrow Sea.
Yeah,
because I think they are setting up that they're not only going to take over all of the Seven Kingdoms, but probably, you know, Marine and all that
the
area
as well. Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to rule a much larger footprint. So yeah, he may end up being governor.
And maybe he might even want to go back. Maybe he don't even want to have to do with the family. Like, just leave me in Marine and let me be rule Marine.
Yeah.
And just let me do my thing here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. He may want to just kind of strike out on his own.
Yeah, or just don't even want to go back to King's Landing because he don't want to deal with that. Because he's probably still up for murder there. Obviously, yeah. He's up for multiple murders.
Yeah, and you know. And his family's still pissed. Jamie, who was the one guy in the family that actually liked him, is still mad.
And he's like, damn, I let you go, man, and you killed Pops on the way out.
Yeah. Really?
Out of all this, I hooked you up.
Yeah.
And one plot I was reading was saying that basically that it's a big, there's two different big things, supposedly. These are theories. They said Bran is the Green Seer, supposedly.
Mm.
That people are theorizing that he's the Green Seer.
Yeah.
And he's training himself. He's in the, like, he's training himself to be a better Green Seer than he was.
Ah, that's interesting.
Because the part where, if you remember the Tower of Joy episode where he's trying to talk to his dad and he's like, no, you can't do that. The people are theorizing that he's the reason that Bran, in the past, and was trying to go back in the future is the reason the Mad King went mad. Because he was hearing him trying to talk to him.
Interesting.
So when he's trying to stop stuff from happening, like with his grandfather, great uncle Brandon,
and he yelled and he could hear him.
And he's going more crazy and he's making this stuff happen for, you know, his grandfather and Brandon, which is who is named after, and he just made things worse. And the Green Seer's trying to stop him and make him better so that those same things won't happen again.
Yeah. That's an interesting theory. Like I like that. I don't know if it's going to be true. Yeah. It's a cool thought.
And then the other one is that the all of those subclass Stark families are setting up Ramsay. Like that dire wolf is not real. That they plotted to bring Rickon to them to make it look like they all are cool with him because they wanted him to kill the Roose Bolton so they could have more power on him and just basically converge on him.
Yeah,
that's one of the theories too, though, saying that that's not that they got themselves captured on purpose. But supposedly they saying that Rickon's the one that they have this picture of someone being crucified and burned, and they saying that's people saying that's Rickon though too, and like a battle scene.
Yeah, and that may happen, but it could be they tried to do that. It just goes wrong.
Yeah, and it goes wrong, right?
I don't think Ramsay's going to live past the end of the season.
No,
he's probably he'll probably either die in the last episode or the second last episode.
But who's going to be the main villain then? You got to have some. That means that's where you got the Iron Islands in, I think. Then.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point because I mean, or I guess, like the Sand Snakes.
Oh, you think they could flip the game up and change it up there? Maybe Daenerys ends up butting heads with them in the next season, where she ends up because she's trying. Because that's where you have to come in through. Is there?
It's the closest spot.
So maybe she butts heads with them.
Yeah,
she's like, I'm the only queen here, or something like that.
And she might. And the final conflict may end up Cersei may end up leading the charge against Daenerys and everything in the final conflict. One thing that I think is, speaking of the Lannisters, one thing I think is interesting about the show that's different from the books is, and I don't know if I like it as much in the show, but Jaime in the books goes to the Riverlands and he goes through a lot.
Jaime has a way more dramatic. He has way more of an evolution. I thought they were doing his evolution on the show, and now he's back to just being a puppet for Cersei.
Yeah, he just seems like. Like, in the book, he goes back to King's Landing, and he deals with Cersei, but he has a much different relationship with her. He sees her very differently. And as far as I can tell on the show, he's just back in the same role he's always been in, just backing her up.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's gotten a little bit of short shrift on the show.
He did, because he had that transition, you know, that evolution. He was the most evolved character in the whole book.
Yeah, and which is really interesting in the books because you meet him and you hate him so much. And one of my favorite things about the books is you meet these characters and initially you may hate, like, you know, Jaime or Tyrion changes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start to see things a little bit more from their point of view and they start to go through some changes and it really affects how you see them. But he's still just kind of her muscle.
Yeah, that's
at all. This point.
And I thought he was going, because in the book he goes back to, he's on his way back to Castle Rock.
Yeah.
To, like, you know, because he's supposed to make sure everything's cool for the family and stuff. I that's one of the things I don't like either. It's like, man, let Jaime has some balls before. Let him do, unless they're saying he's affected by the his daughter dying and it affected him, where it's like, I gotta kind of hold on to what's going on here and Tommen's my only child left.
Yeah, and that's possible. Or they might do the same evolution just in a different way and at a different time. Like, there might be something that happens in King's Landing that causes him to have a falling out with her. But I don't know. It just feels like they kind of shorthanded it.
Yeah, and it seemed like he's not in an episode. Like, he's barely in the show this season, too.
Yeah, he just kind of stands around in the background with other people talking.
Yeah, I was like, so I'm like trying to figure out why they would even have him like that in that position. So what do you think about everything going on in the North now with Ramsay? We were talking about Ramsay.
Yeah, you know, he's gonna try to hang on as best he can. I think it's a really interesting theory that they're trying to set up, that those other families are planning on setting up Ramsay. It makes it a little bit easy, maybe, though.
He's being way too gullible, almost.
Yeah.
Like, you would feel like that, like, wow, like, everybody. But then it was the same thing, that everybody around you hated you so much that that you didn't even know.
Yeah, and then...
Because he has no allies at this point, though.
I guess it could kind of parallel John with the Night's Watch, in that he...
Didn't even know.
Yeah, he didn't even realize that he was being undercut.
Because he could leave you think about it. Who is Ramsay trust?
Yeah.
In his camp, like, he doesn't have his dad, he doesn't have...
Yeah. I don't think Ramsey trusts anybody. I don't think he's ever trusted anybody. It's been working for him so far.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like the big conflict with John is going to be to get Ramsey to retake Winterfell. And I just don't... They could undercut that. They could fake to all of us like that there's going to be a big battle scene in Winterfell and then Ramsay gets assassinated. It's kind of like what they did with the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
Like he thought, you know, that Rob might die, but if he did die, he was going to die in this big battle that they were planning, but then instead they just kill him right before that. And
it's all over. It's all
yeah.
Over.
But it seems like they're setting up some kind of a conflict between Ramsay and Jon Snow facing off. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with that.
I'm interested in the phrase, though.
The Karr Starks and everyone.
But I was interested in the phrase, though, too. Do they get involved somehow? Even though Jon has and Sansa had beef with them, but do they like basically come from like another side? Because like, yo, you killed my daughter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and an heir, a potential heir from me as well. You know, on my side.
Yeah, that's really true. I didn't even think about that. We haven't seen, aside from Walda Frey.
Yeah.
Who he murdered.
And you gotta think about what about that other cousin too? Was it Rob's uncle that married the other Frey daughter?
Oh yeah.
They moved him out. Does he come back involved? Like with the Freys, maybe Walder Frey dies and then maybe he's the man there. And I mean, you know, and maybe they're like, well, we gotta go against them. I'm just saying, like, where are the Freys at in this?
And they've kind of gotten forgotten, really. Yeah. We haven't seen them at all. So this, and I guess him, Ramsay killing Walda Frey, this would be a good time to bring them back.
Yep.
So they could do that.
Yeah.
But it does seem like that middle ground, we deal a lot with the South, we deal a lot with King's Landing, we deal a lot with Dorne. We deal a lot with the North, and that sort of middle
ground. We don't do anything with it with, like, the Vale, really.
Yeah, you know. We kind of skip over it.
Yeah, it's like, it really is nothing. Like, they don't do anything, you know. Like, we haven't even went to go see where the Martells are from. Like, we've never seen that.
That's true, yeah. They've never depicted that.
Yeah, because what was the closest we got to it was... Yeah, we didn't get close to it, because we went to... Where was Renly camped at? No, yeah, I guess that'd be the closest thing was when Renly, because Renly was using their men, right, with the Tyrells.
I believe so.
Yeah, so that would be the closest thing is the first time and the only time we got to see Renly is when that was maybe the only time we saw, and that was barely anything there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Speaking of lost threads, yeah. Where do you think Sam's gonna end up?
I wonder if there's gonna be something, you know, that goes over. Because, you know, his father's like an asshole. He said his dad is an asshole in the books. So I'm just wondering if it's going to be some kind of button of heads. Is like, yo, you know, dad, I'm doing some. So, or maybe he flips it and be like, wow, you're becoming a, you know, maester. And you're doing something because you thought we weren't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
You know. And it's interesting that because that's a whole other area. Old Town, that's like stuff. That's a whole part we never really visited either. That we
yeah. And they spend a decent amount of time in the books in Old Town.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
It's just kind of not. I mean, it's mentioned, but it hasn't been depicted.
Yeah. So. And because they were loyal to the Targaryens, right?
I believe yeah. so.
Yeah, so because he's one of his best generals. His dad's like one of his best generals or something like that.
Yeah, and I think they're kind of semi. I think they're kind of semi-independent in Old Town.
Yeah, like it's kind of like his own kind of. Yeah, I don't think they belong to any family. Like they're not up under any family. I don't believe.
Yeah,
and then you got Highland Reed too, though. You know where we haven't seen Reed either, though. Like,
yeah,
where is he involved? You know,
and it's gonna be interesting to see now that we've seen that scene at the what was it Tower of Joy?
Mm-hmm.
At the Tower of Joy that.
Even though Ned lied about that.
Yeah, which was interesting. Because
it definitely did not go the way he
yeah,
says it did.
Yeah, which is very interesting. It seemed like this like legendary badass.
Yeah,
like the baddest guy in the kingdom, and then clearly he hadn't.
Yeah.
Which I know it was funny when it, like, I laughed
yeah.
when it happened. But it's one of the ways that I think that you kind of... You know, this whole Game of Thrones and the whole book series and Song of Ice and Fire has really come out of this like fantasy, like this high fantasy tradition.
Yeah.
And I like how much he undercuts that with stuff like that. Like you hear this like legendary tale story that he took out of this fight.
And he had this sword called Dawn and you know it was so big and if you notice he didn't even use Dawn in the fight.
Yeah.
He just so he didn't even use his best sword.
It wasn't even there.
No. So that's why I think it was all these wives' tales that he told.
Yeah.
All strung together. But
and it's kind of like George R. R. Martin saying, like, okay, all these other fantasy books that you've read, like, you've been reading, like, the story after it's told for generations and becomes this awesome story. Yeah. And, like, I'm going to tell you how it really happened. And, like, some guy, like, slipped on some shit in the mud and, like...
Another guy stabbed him in the back.
Yeah, and then I'm falling on his face and the guy stabbed him in the back because it was, you know, it's an easy thing to do. So I liked that it was unexpected, but yeah, it's like Howland Reed. We see Howland as a young man, and we really haven't at any point now. So it's gonna be interesting.
They made him look younger on the show than I thought he was.
They made him look really young
because it's like that would mean he would be young. The way they made it look like he was younger than Ned.
Yeah,
but I always thought Howland Reed was older than Ned and like an older guy.
And they made Ned look really young too.
Yeah, I thought they were going to bring back the other actor.
Yeah, because you could have made Sean Bean.
And just cut off all his facial hair, just had him go.
Yeah, you could have made him look younger enough that it would have worked. Because I mean, like it looks like from looking at the two actors, it looks like 40 years.
Yeah, I know that's what it does. Like and it's like what Jon Snow is like. Oh, like well, in the books he's a different age, but let's say Jon Snow's 21 on the show.
Yeah.
So you're saying that was when he was born. So you're saying 21 years ago he looks that young from there.
Yeah. No, that's not. Yeah. That was kind of funny.
But yeah, but Howland Reed, they made him look like he was like almost like a like he was a squire or something. Like he was like 17 years old or something out there.
Yeah. He wasn't the guy that fought. He was the guy that like held the sword and shield and handed it to the other guy. Kind of.
That's what it made it look like he was there for. You know.
It'll be interesting. It's a good chance for them to bring him back if they want to, because I could see him kind of rushing in unexpectedly, like to Jon Snow's aid, because he knows the truth too.
Yeah,
you know,
he's the only one left that does. Yeah, unless somebody like Varys or somebody.
And so he may charge in and like issue some kind of proclamation or something like that, because they need to rally people to Jon Snow, and everyone's like, "Who's this bastard coming in?"
Aren't you Ned Stark's bastard?
Yeah, like and he's going to explain. Oh, by the way, He's not. He's a Targaryen, and we should all, like, follow this guy. And he's going to end up having to marry his cousin and then sit on the throne.
You think they might make him marry Daenerys?
It seems like that's where it's headed, the two of them.
And then, Targaryens, anyway, they marry within their own bloodline anyway.
Typically, it's brother-sister. Yeah. But, you know, there's only two of them left, so they might stretch the rules. You know, make it slightly less gross, I guess, to sleep with your cousin.
First cousin?
I don't know.
Actually, it might be even better in their situation because both of them are bastard kids, right?
I believe so.
So it won't be as bad because they'll actually don't have one set of bloodlines that aren't.
It's true.
Involved with each other.
They're half cousins.
Yeah.
It's barely disgusting.
Barely disgusting. I'm interested to see. Dorne is still intriguing me, though, because I don't know how they're just letting them go rogue. Like, everybody said, fuck it. Like, we're just going to let them kind of do their own thing. Like,
yeah.
And nobody's challenging it. Or I guess maybe King's Landing has so much going on with High Sparrow that they're like, I guess we need to figure this out first. Or
yeah, I think everyone's just kind of taking their eye off the ball a little bit. There was definitely a power vacuum, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Sand Snakes do.
Because two Sand Snakes are technically in King's Landing now, right? Because Tristan was on a boat going to King's Landing.
Yeah, and so the boat presumably arrived.
I'm assuming there's two Sand Snakes in King's Landing right now.
That's a good point. They may be lurking somewhere.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. There, you know, there might be
because her episode. Revenge isn't over. Maybe they're there to finish off some revenge.
Yeah, there might be an episode or two when suddenly one of them pops out and knifes somebody that we don't
see it coming. Yeah,
so that'll be interesting. It's interesting to me too, especially I noticed in this last episode. Like, so you've got Jon and Sansa together.
Mm-hmm.
But Sansa's driving the bus, really. I mean, Sansa's like in charge, and Jon, okay.
She seems like she's taking that Lady Stoneheart kind of feel to her. Like, she was like, if you don't do it, I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah,
if you don't want to do it, I'll figure it out.
Like, the Catelyn Stark kind of, yep. like, push her man a little bit. But it's interesting. So, like, she's driving the bus there. The Sand Snakes are driving in Dorne. Cersei is fighting for control. Yeah. And obviously Daenerys is in charge. And Yara is
fighting
for control in the Iron Islands. And, you know, it's not like this is, you know, Song of Ice and Fire or Game of Thrones is like an explicitly feminist work. But it's, I think, kind of another inversion of the high fantasy thing that, like, the women are really, like, driving here.
Yeah, you know, no, they are definitely, yeah.
Totally in charge of this situation. Which I like, because it shows it shows them as strong and independent people that are going after their goals. But it's not in just a way of, like, it's not harping on the fact that they're women that are going after what they want. It's
they're just going after their fact.
Do it. Which is I think, a nice inversion of kind of what you normally see in these kind of stories. You know, I don't know how much fantasy you read. I've read a lot of fantasy.
Yeah, novels. I read a lot of fantasy, yeah.
Definitely. They all star guys. You know, it's always dudes.
Yeah, and it's always the same ending.
Yeah, yeah. They always save the world, yep. and they always beat, like, the demon or whatever it is. But it's neat to see it kind of taken in a different kind of a way.
And turn on its head a little bit.
Yeah, and women being, you know, obviously you've got Brienne, who's like a brawler. And
yeah.
Probably right now, aside from the Mountain, the strongest individual character.
Might be the best warrior in all, you know, Seven Kingdoms right now is her.
Yeah, which will be interesting to see. I bet at some point that's going to get proven. She's probably going to have to fight somebody or fight several somebodies that Brienne will eventually become a character of legend. The same
like kind
way
of like
that,
Arthur Dayne was.
The same way Arthur Dayne or those other, like, knights. And she might end up being, what are they called? The guards.
King, head of Kingsguard?
Kingsguard, yeah. She may end up being one of the Kingsguard.
Basically what Jaime
members,
was.
Or, yeah, or having that
and
role.
And maybe Jaime's around, or maybe sure how to do it, or something like that, or like, this is what I did, you know, being ahead of the Kingsguard.
Yeah, because they have a... And they showed it a little bit on the show, but in the book, they have kind of a nice relationship.
I always thought that they were going to try to... I thought they were going to hook up at some point or something.
I really did, too. And they may still, because it's diverged a ways. But it's... She's the first woman, I think, especially in the books, that he has really respected aside from Cersei.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she doesn't take shit from him. There's a whole scene where they're in the boat in the river and she, like, yep. clobbers him and, you know, holds him underwater and everything. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with her. She's a fan favorite.
Yeah, character. Yeah. I mean, in the book, she's being hung right now, so we don't even know her and Podrick.
It's the same as with Jon Snow.
Like, you know they were getting out of it.
Because I can't figure that he dedicated, like, half of a book to this woman to have her get just hung and that be the end of it. Like, it just seems like a waste of time.
About a group that we haven't seen again, the Brotherhood of Banners. We haven't seen them since, season 2, maybe, or something.
Yeah, and they're really interesting, and they're kind of a... In the book, they're kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
Like
Contras or something like that.
Yeah, that's not... I guess it's that kind of middle ground, that Riverlands area.
Yeah, that's where they kind of run around.
That's where they kind of hang out. And we really just don't see that on the show, which is a shame, but I recognize that they can't do, like, 40 episodes a season.
And they're not going to be able to do that. And I think they're giving up on the Lady Stoneheart stuff, too.
Yeah, I think they're just going to...
Just dip that whole kind of storyline with it.
Which is interesting because, okay, you've got Lady Stoneheart, mm-hmm. and you've got the other leader, and I'm thinking of his name.
Is this Daenerys?
That keeps getting brought back to life.
Yeah, but she takes over for him because he gives her the power to be able to come back.
Yeah, because he, like, has died over and over again. And it's interesting. It makes Jon Snow a lot more of a Christ figure
Definitely.
On the show. Because the Mountain's come back, sort of, as kind of a zombie.
Yeah, really. He's a zombie.
But, like,
yeah.
Jon Snow is apparently fine.
Well, but the only thing is, though, is the guy from the Brother of Banners that keeps coming back, he keeps saying a piece of him keeps dying every time he dies. So is, and I was thinking Jon Snow isn't the same Jon Snow, because he, when he was like, fuck it, I'm out, I was like, oh, maybe this is a new guy.
Yeah. And there may be some, it's interesting, there may be some tension there, and you kind of wonder, like, is Jon Snow different because he lost a piece of himself, or is Jon Snow different pissed because off. He got murdered?
And he's pissed off.
Yeah, and he's like, can we really decide what the difference is there? But, I mean, in the book, he's at least, like, the third person we know that's been able to come back from the dead. And on the show, he's really the first.
Yeah, because, you know, well, they showed the other character coming back when the Hound killed him. Because they brought him back.
Yeah.
In the cave. Remember, they had that fight in the cave. It was a battle. They had a trial by combat.
That's right, yeah.
And the Hound killed him.
That's, yeah.
And they brought him back again.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so he's not totally unique. But it'll be interesting to see. And the books will probably do the same thing. That it'll be interesting to explore in that how, if at all, he's different.
Yeah.
You know, because like Lady Stoneheart can't talk because her throat got cut.
Right.
And Jon Snow got stabbed a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And he was talking normally and everything. Now, that may just be because it's a TV show and they don't want to have some character wheezing in some annoying way. You know?
The whole time. And it's like, yeah, we're going to have to figure that one out a little bit better.
Yeah. Like, you just watch it, like, wait for him to finish his sentence for 10 minutes. So that may be because it's a TV show, but it is a difference. And it may be a difference of form, show versus book, but it kind of lends a different narrative aspect, which as this goes on, I find more and more interesting to explore.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm ready to see what happens going forth in the season. That, I guess, we still got the White Walkers still sitting out there. That's a whole another plot line.
And they haven't even shown them.
Yeah, I guess it looks like from the previews that Bran's supposed to talk to him or see him next episode.
Standing next to the camera.
Yeah, so it's like, man, like, and the thing is, though, is that Ramsay knows about the White Walkers, though. He talks about it.
Yeah.
It was 2-3 episodes ago. He was like, yeah, I know what's happening down there or whatever. But like, I guess everybody's like, fuck it. Like, I don't even care about that. I need to get my power now.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Yeah, everyone's got their eye off the ball.
Yeah. And in all different places, too.
Yeah. So I think that this season's probably setting up everyone trying to get what they want in the immediate future. And I feel like probably at the end of the season, if I had to bet, because I guess they're doing two more, but it's like kind of like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, they're going to make it. Like, yeah, it's going to be shorter seasons.
Yeah. And so if I had to bet, I bet the wall's coming down at the end of the season.
I think
season.
So too, though. Yeah.
The last episode, the last thing we're going to see is that wall collapsing and the White Walkers just flooding.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. And then probably the next two seasons is going to be the war. Like the real
war. The real war. The one that actually matters.
Yeah. Like the war for existence.
Or does it come a situation where Jon Snow or somebody flips it and gets them to help him out or something?
Yeah. That could be. Yeah. I mean, it's a song of ice and fire. Dany's got the fire. He may recruit the ice, and you know,
that'd be crazy. Think about it. What if he got that arm, that army to follow him?
Yeah,
you know, and it promised them something, or maybe they get maybe it's like kind of how Return of the King was, where those old soldiers get to go to rest in peace by doing something else good or whatever. I've got what army that was in Return of the King that they grabbed.
Yeah, they grabbed the army and they're finally
able to were at peace. Yeah, they were there. Their duty was met. But I guess at the same time, though, maybe the ice people guys don't give a care either. But it'd be interesting to see, like, does it end up flipping on its head where they end up not even, they end up being kind of within the fray of what's going on with King's Landing.
Yeah, and I could see it happening, except that they're almost like in video game talk, it's like it like breaks the game for Jon Snow. Like, it kind of makes it too easy. Like,
right. He's got
this, like, immortal
army. He's got a cheat code.
It's like, yeah, like, I'm Jon Snow and here's my immortal army behind me. Like,
and my cousin has dragons.
Yeah.
Like, and a arm of bandit riders.
Yeah, my cousin girlfriend has dragons. And I've got this army. So, I mean, that'd be interesting. That'd be a neat way to take it, but
But it would make it be a cheat code then at that point. Yeah,
there's no. It could set up a conflict between Jon Snow and Dany. I mean, he could be leading them, and she could be leading the dragons, and so that could be the final end game.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, but my thought is that they're bringing the two of them together.
Yeah, at some point they're going to be together.
Yeah.
But can you see the White Walkers come to King's Landing? Do you think that's a possibility for the White Walkers to show up in King's Landing?
Yeah, eventually. But it'll be interesting too, because the Stark Wars, the winter is coming.
Yeah.
So I assume that winter's just going to kind of follow them south. As they move south. It's winter. And you're not going to have them stand around the tropical weather. It's going to my guess is it's going to continue to follow them south. But I don't know.
The winter's come almost for the north, basically, at this point. Because they're basically, it seems like they're right on their doorstep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there.
And they got that half of what the wildlings they took out at Hardhome. Mm-hmm. That they have them and they made them whites or whatever.
Yeah, and they got a bunch of bodies when they did that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know. I'm amazed that they're going to try to finish this up as soon as they are.
I'm surprised. Well, they're supposed to be doing prequel seasons too.
You know, I could see that. I mean, it's
I would like to see Rhaegar Targaryen and stuff like that and see all the different stuff.
It's one thing that I like about the world that he's created, that it's real enough. I mean, there's enough of a feel of history to it that the prequels make absolute sense in a world that's as complicated as this one. It's like he created this world and then decided to tell a particular story.
But it's so many other stories that are going around there that we don't even know about.
Yeah, it's like differentiating it from like Harry Potter.
Yeah,
and not to rag on Harry Potter because I really like Harry Potter.
Yeah, but they got the new movies coming out too.
And those are
prequels, right?
Yeah, it's a prequel. But like when you really think about it, the Harry Potter world doesn't actually make a lot of sense.
Why do you say that?
Well, just because it's you've got all the bad guys that were all in the Slytherin house. Mm-hmm. That are clearly the bad guys.
So why do you guys put all the black people in a Slytherin house?
And so obviously the bad guys. And they all helped Voldemort the first time. And they apparently all just got a pass and got put in with the school with everyone else. And then you've got the headmaster of the school who's like, okay, we've got this 9-year-old that can save everybody. You know, I could do a lot. I could do a whole lot to help us out, but I'm gonna let the 9-year-old take charge. And the reason behind it is and they're great stories. The books are outstanding. Yeah. But everything that's created about the world is in service to the story of Harry Potter. And here,
so everything is revolving around his story, not individual stories that's going on.
Yeah, everything else makes sense as far as it relates to his story. Because the books are about his story. And Game of Thrones, he created a world and decided to tell this particular story about that world. But like you said, Rhaegar, Arthur Dayne, they could do a prequel series.
But just them two. Just them two hanging out. Dunk and Egg.
Dunk and Egg, which is a fantastic set of stories.
Yeah.
And there's so much of a feel of history. And one of the things I like about the show is I feel like they really captured that in the way that things
look.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
And the way that the sets are and the way that the statues, and when they come into a place and there's this giant statue of something that was obviously ancient, and what they were able to create just lends a feeling of this being a complete world in a way that you don't get in a lot of other stories. So yeah, they can do HBO, and they probably will. They could do prequel stories for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, and they would never run out.
Yeah, and I'd be okay with that. Hopefully, George R. R. Martin has allowed them to do that.
Hopefully.
I could see him, because he's such a he's so interesting in Troll. I don't know if you've heard this, but like, did you ever read Wheel of Time?
No, I did not.
I'd recommend it.
Okay. Who is it, by George R. Martin?
No. It's Robert Jordan.
Robert Jordan.
But he finished most of it and then passed away.
Is that the one that killed himself?
No. He had some kind of a rare disease. Okay. But he had enough warning that he was going to pass away that he knew. And so he was able to write out essentially an outline.
Couldn't write it directly and specifically, but gave you an outline of what he wanted to happen.
Yeah, he made an outline of what he wanted to happen, and then he gave his family the right to pick an author to finish the series for him. And there's a guy, Brandon Sanderson, who's another fantasy writer, who finished the series for him, and I thought did a really great job with it. And it felt very true to the story. And
it didn't feel fake, like you could tell when someone else picked up the pen.
Exactly. And picked it up. It felt like it fit with the remainder of the story. But George R. R. Martin has said that if he dies, it's not getting finished. which is not reassuring given the kind of condition
that right. The weight limits.
But he did tell D.B. Weiss and the other guy whose name I'm forgetting who run the show.
Yeah.
He told them how he wanted it to end. So that they would be able to end the show. But since he's so interested in the control, I'm wondering if he structured the contract that if he's not involved, they can't do anymore. I hope he didn't, because it's such a true world.
Yeah,
because
there's so many different things I want to see.
Yeah, and you could, I mean, authors and showrunners and people could tell stories out of this world for years and years and years.
There's so many stories, man. Like I would like to see a Rhaegar, Arthur Dayne kind of buddy cop kind of like.
That's
what it would be, though. Like, you know, from all intents and purposes, it seems like Arthur Dayne would be the straight man and Rhaegar was like the kind of the silly guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they would just ride around doing quests together, just hanging out, like,
yeah, and I would watch every episode of that.
I mean, you gotta think about it, because I was telling a friend of mine about my buddy cop thing with Rhaegar and Arthur. He's like, wow, I never thought about it, because he read the books too. And I was like, you gotta think about it. Rhaegar was a dick. He wins a tournament, takes the flower, doesn't give it to his wife, gives it to another woman that he's trying to holler at, and then rides off, and then he keeps it moving, like,
he's trying to holler.
Yeah, and then just keeps it moving, like, hey,
maybe, like,
yeah. I mean, and I could see him, like, riding past his wife, you know, to give...
Do you think he made eye contact with his wife?
No, I think that's to make it even worse. I think he acted like she didn't exist. Like, he didn't... Like, he won the jousting battle and then literally turned around and was like, you know, waving to everybody and stuff. He might even point it over her head at somebody else that he knew from, like, kindergarten or something. Like, Dave, was seeing you. You go, call me. Or send me a letter. Send me a letter sometime. And then he goes over and gives it to the...
Dave, you know, what's up? I haven't seen you since Maester class.
And yeah, I think about it, is the whole thing is that... And I think Rhaegar knew that she didn't like Robert Baratheon too.
Yeah.
Like, so you got to think all these different a-hole things he was doing at one time, man. And then he got her like, yeah, you know what? Hey, meet me somewhere. We're just going to run away for a year.
Yeah.
And go have a baby.
I'd love to see, too, the war that started. Because, like, Robert, we saw fat old Robert. But Robert,
we didn't see the gangster Robert. Yeah, we didn't see the gangster Robert.
And I feel like Robert's really... I mean, he's Henry VIII.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because Henry VIII was like fathered a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Had trouble having male children.
Yeah, he had all women. Because that's why he kept divorcing women and trying to get another woman, because he thought it was their womb that...
Bad science.
Yeah. It's you, buddy. You choose the sex.
But it was, you know, he's clearly him, but like, he was a hoss in his younger days. Like, you hear about the trident?
Yeah.
And he, like, was smashing guys left and right with his warhammer and just like, the man. So much the man that of all the brilliant warriors they could have picked, they put him on the throne.
Because he was that good.
Yeah.
They could have put Ned on. They could have put... I mean, they could have put a whole bunch of people on the throne at that time.
Yeah,
John Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's a long list to pick.
Yeah.
And they picked him. It was a bad choice.
Yeah.
But at the time, it probably was.
But was it, I'm going back, thinking about it, wasn't that more the Lannisters trying to push for him too? Because they wanted to get Cersei as a wife.
Yeah, that may be the case, that the Lannisters angled for that, because that's...
Because, I mean, all intents and purposes, they say that John Aaron should have been king.
Yeah.
And he threw him out on the veil and everything.
Clearly a better choice.
Yeah.
And despite his, like, pathetic child that he ended up having.
Yeah, but is that real? I guess I don't think he even wanted a kid for real. I think they kind of arranged this because of all of this person, because we didn't get to see John Aaron.
Yeah, he was supposed to be pretty old.
That's what I was like. I don't even think he wanted to have kids. He probably was like, man, I just want to do stuff right, do the right thing and run my kingdom and do whatever. And they were like, hey, you know, you got to marry this woman now. Have a kid with her, and his sperm is probably swimming real slow, and that's why the kid ends up being real slow.
It's like one of the dumb ones.
Yeah.
Won the race.
But because John Aaron hadn't been married before though, or something like that.
I don't think so. I think he was single. Like,
yeah,
he was like lifelong bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, of the Tully sisters, you're gonna marry the ugly one,
right? And crazy.
Yeah,
like, she couldn't even She couldn't even be like ugly and nice. She had to be ugly and crazy. So they got all the bad characters from all the Tully daughters is in her.
Yeah.
And you have that set.
Creepy, clingy, weird issues.
Because she had her thing for Littlefinger still. Because nobody got messed up on who they wanted to be with. Everybody is cross-pollinating.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere.
Which I mean, just royalty back in the day, I think that's how it was.
Yeah.
You know, you just got assigned your wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, this is like just what I have to do for the rest of my life.
Right. So I'm going to have another woman. I might even date the woman from the Duchess of France over here, even though I'm from Italy. That might be the girl I love, but I'm married to, you know, my woman.
Or like Rhaegar, I'll just like, you know, just make eyes at her and give her the rose.
After the tournament.
I'll just like maul some dudes and then like on stage.
And Robert's sitting like right behind her, like, you know, some stuff. So Robert had a whole bunch of beef going on because I think Robert knew that they didn't get kidnapped at one point.
Yeah.
I thinking back, I'm like, he probably was jealous as shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
Because one of my friends was like, man, he's like, wouldn't it be dope if when they were fighting, he was like, but she loves me. Like, think about that, like a battle scene, like if you had a prequel and it's showing them fighting, he's like, yo, she don't love you, she loves me, and they fighting, and he getting more pissed because he's to giving them the real, like, I didn't kidnap her, she's with me, for real. Like,
yeah, she chose
she chose me. Like, you know.
She picked me. It's interesting. I mean, it's obviously not a romantic word, but love is driving a lot of what's going on.
Yep.
Which I guess, you know, is that's true of most things, I think, you know. Like, life generally isn't romantic, but love drives a lot of decisions.
With the Baratheons, going back to Robert, the thing that kind of confused me is how, I guess, none of the Baratheon brothers seem they liked each other.
Yeah. They really, all three of them, all three of them were profoundly different, and maybe the age. I mean, there was a big distance between all three of those guys.
Because the oldest is Stannis, right?
Stannis
then Robert, then Renly.
Yeah, and Stannis was Duty, which is an eldest child trait.
So, because he inherited Dragonstone off the top because he was the oldest.
Yeah, and that was the Duty. And then, I guess Renly then would be like the baby, the spoiled one. And then Robert's the one that feels like he got forgotten.
And he had to go out and prove himself.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So that's probably what was driving his motivation through that whole thing.
Yeah, or maybe that'd be something nice in a prequel to see Stannis and being like, hey, Stannis may have thought he should have been on the throne at the beginning. Like, you know, and it's like, you know, so it's all these different things that these different keys of different people are in the backgrounds before we even get to Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they say with Stannis would almost be like, he said he was trying to uphold his father, his brother, and his wishes. No, y'all didn't even like each other.
Yeah, he did not like his brother.
And I think Robert was cool with Renly though, because I think he knew that Renly was gay, and it was like, whatever, you know, you do whatever, you just be happy.
Yeah, do what you want.
Yeah,
which I felt like I saw that on the show, and I don't know if it was because I was younger when I read the books, it's more subtextual.
Yeah, it's not overt like that. No.
Yeah, I remember seeing the show and I was like, oh, they're gay. That makes so much sense. Like, I was like, oh, okay, all right, this makes so much more sense because, like, and then I read the books again after that.
Same thing happened with me though with the
very implied
Oberyn. Same thing happened with me reading Oberyn again. Because then you're like, pansexual. What the hell is pansexual? And
yeah,
like, I don't know. It's not homo. I know it's homosexual, whatever, pansexual. Maybe he don't like women. Maybe he don't like nobody.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh no, pansexual means that you don't care.
He just did not care.
That means you really don't care. You don't have an attraction to either one. You don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was interesting that because in retrospect it was pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But because your perspectives in the books are limited to that individual character and what they know and what they're willing to talk about kind of internally. He made that a much more of a subtext issue. And then when you see it in the show, it like all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, now we see why there's some beef between Stannis and him. Because they've probably been beefing since they were kids, since he knew he was gay.
Yeah, and Stannis, like, clearly is not okay with it.
Yeah.
He seems, like, super conservative.
But he doesn't even seem like he even likes women, too, though. He seems like he's almost asexual.
Yeah, Stannis, I think, did it just, you know, as a part of his duty.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, he just was not a nice... He was just kind of a humorless prick.
Right? Yeah.
And
it's crazy, in the books, they had him kind of turning towards being more of a good character.
Yeah. Yeah, he becomes much more layered in the books, but I think some of that's just, you know, he's got more pages to work.
Yeah, and then that, and maybe they flipped that. Maybe that's what happens in the book, and they flipped it, and then they just never show, you know, because it wasn't in the book. But he's sitting right at Winterfell's door, like, you know,
he's cruising along just fine.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see if they do anything different. That Shireen's fine.
Yeah, she's good. You know, everything is fine. So It's going to be interesting, man. But hey, man, thank you for coming on again, man. We'll be back next week, man. Hopefully we can get everybody together.
Absolutely.
Man.
As far as I know, I'm free next week.
So. Yeah, Raven says she's free too, and Matt said he'll be back. And appreciate everybody listening, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.